Krishna lost his flute, now he's getting it back. That's the Krishna that we want to see. Krishna with his flute. Krishna has many names. He's also Partha Sarathi. But that's also very good. We also read Bhagavad Gita. But the ultimate goal of the Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavas is to worship Krishna in Vrindavan with his flute. Gaurīya Vaiṣṇava means the sampradaya coming from Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. Sometimes in Vrindavan, Krishna loses his flute also. Anyway, we're supposed to be speaking tonight about the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So the important point here is that these teachings, this upadesham, it is divya upadesham. It is transcendental instruction. As we drove here from Salem to E Road, we saw so many colleges. I was told that the Vidya Vikas institution, that's a prestigious, famous institution. There are many prestigious educational institutions throughout the world. In India, the various IITs are considered very prestigious. In the Western countries, Oxford and Cambridge universities are very famous. In England and then in France, there is the Sorbonne University in Paris. In Croatia, no, there's no famous. Well, maybe among Croatians. But in America, Yale and Harvard universities are very famous, and MIT, Massachusetts Institutes of Technology, and there's so many, Stanford University, Princeton University, so many. However, although they teach many things, they don't teach the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So, what we're going to speak tonight is the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, even if you have a PhD from Oxford, and you're a lecturer at Harvard University, you won't get knowledge as valuable as that which Prahlad Maharaj gave. Because in all the educational institutions in the world, they simply talk about what is called, in the Vedas, is described as aparavidya, means material knowledge. Actually, the Vedas speak of aparavidya and paravidya, the worldly knowledge and transcendental knowledge. But it's the Vedas themselves state that within the Vedas there are two kinds of knowledge, both transcendental knowledge and material knowledge. So the knowledge which is taught in the modern educational institutions is not even Vedic mundane knowledge. It's just non-Vedic mundane knowledge. So when we see an educational institution by the name Vidya Vikas, we know that it's actually avidya vikas, that you become more ignorant by going there. Your avidya increases. Because real vidya is described by Prahlad Maharaj in relation to the ignorance of materialistic people. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidu swarta gating hi vishnum durashaya ye bahirata maninas. He says that they, means materialistic people, they do not know, nate vidu, they do not have vidya, they do not have knowledge of that the real goal of self-interest is Vishnu. And although they are very hopeful, they're very hopeful that by doing vikas or a development of their vidya, of their knowledge, they will become a big shot in this material world. But that's just the problem, that this knowledge is only focused on this material world. It is bahirartha, it is external, external interest. It's not our actual intrinsic interest. So, real knowledge begins with the knowledge that Lord Krishna's first teaches in Bhagavad Gita, what is spirit? What is the difference between spirit and matter? Maybe you've heard of MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is considered the most, it's in America, it's considered the most prestigious institute of technical knowledge in the world. So when our most worshipable Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, went to give a lecture there, he pointed out that there are so many departments of knowledge in this university, but there is no department that teaches what is the difference between a living body and a dead body. Now this is the actually important point that we should be thinking about. See, all the education we do, it's simply how to get some money so that we can eat nicely, sleep nicely, have a nice family and protect ourselves. So all this knowledge is useful for a living body, but it doesn't in the slightest bit prepare us for a great calamity that we all have to face. If you go to an astrologer, he might look at your chart and say, oh, very good chart. You see, exalted Venus and Jupiter and all good signs. But there's one thing that in every chart, which the astrologer doesn't talk about very much, there's a major calamity. And even without being an astrologer, everyone can predict the major calamity in everyone's life. We're not talking here about Rahu Mahadasha. We're not talking about that, the Rahu period. We're talking about death. You may have a very good chart. You see, you're going to have lots of money, and you're going to be famous, and you're going to have lots of enjoyment. But there's only one problem. You're going to die. And what happens after that? Well, they don't teach you in the school or college. They don't prepare you in the slightest for this great calamity that we all have to face. Even if there's any talk about religion, which has been made illegal by the government of India, this great contribution of the government of India that all religion is banned from the schools. But even if you do go to someone who's talking about religion, they're just talking about how God can bless you to get a bigger motor car or something like this. Or you can do some meditation to become free from stress. But no one is teaching how to face death. What is the most important thing in life? It's not, you know, how many rupees you earn. It's not how many times you get your photo put in the newspaper. It's not whether you have a very fashionable hairstyle. The most important thing is how we die. Because, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, which is, of course, non-different from the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, yang yang vapi svaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tang tam evaiti kauntaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever, so if we think, if we're in dog-like consciousness, then we get the body of a dog. If at the time of death we have our consciousness is like that of a dog, then we get the body of a dog. If we if we're fond of eating chickens, then we're likely to in our next life we'll be in a poultry farm, not as the owner. If we think of Krishna at the time of death, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam. Lord Krishna says, yati nastyatra samshaya. Yeah, anyway, you can give the translation. So human life is meant for learning how to die properly. Everything else is superficial. So that's why we say this vidya vikas, it's not vidya vikas, it's avidya vikas or vidya vinash. Because real knowledge is to consider that we are not the body, we are transcendental spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna. But modern education is teaching us how to live a very sophisticated and complicated way of life, not to improve our consciousness. A very complex way of life based on kam, krodha and lobha. Work hard, get lots of money and enjoy your senses. This is the underlying message of modern education. In other words, they are simply fostering kam, krodha and lobha. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna warns, trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. kamas kama krodhas tata lobhas tasmat etat trayang tyajet. You can say. So these transcendental teachings of Bhagavad Gita, of Prahlad Maharaj, it's not simply a hobby. It's absolutely essential if we are to avoid becoming dogs and cats in the next life. And so that we can attain the actual point of human life, Vishnu, Krishna. Now these are teachings, transcendental teachings, upadesham. It's not simply a sentiment. Teaching means we have to understand with our intelligence. Prahlad Maharaj, when he gave his famous teachings, was only a young boy. But he gave teachings in a very intelligent manner that even most highly educated people of the modern age, they don't come to this, to the level of knowledge that Prahlad had even as a young boy. Prahlad Maharaj, he taught what an intelligent person should do. He gave the duty, or he instructed what is the duty of a pragya. Pragya means an intelligent person, a learned person. It means learned and intelligent. It gives the sense of learning and intelligence. The two things are not necessarily synonymous. We've seen many highly educated fools, and you also meet some people who are very intelligent but not very educated. If someone is both intelligent and educated, then what should they recommend? Prahlad Maharaj says, Kumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataneha durlabham manushaṁ janma tadapya dhruvam arthadam. It's just like the parents send their children. Well, first of all, they used to send them to school at the age of 5, and then they had kindergarten. Now they have pre-kindergarten. So they have the idea that education is so important that we should start it right away, from the very beginning of life. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj also says. But he says that the education should be about Bhagavad Dharma, or the relationship between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord Krishna. Of course, some people in the modern age have discovered that even in the womb you can start to educate the child. Actually, that was the case with Prahlad Maharaj. His spiritual education began in the womb. That's why in traditional Vaishnav culture, it's considered very important that the pregnant ladies, they should hear topics of Krishna, so that the child in the womb can have the impression of Krishna Katha. So this is considered a very modern discovery, that the child in the womb can start to receive impressions of knowledge. But actually that knowledge is there in ancient Vedic culture. And what is the ultimate point of knowledge, that is also given. In the Vedic literature there is discussion of various fields of knowledge, such as gynecology. It means, I guess you could say, garbhavidyam. In modern science, using X-rays, they have discovered how the embryo develops, which parts form, in which order. So they think this is very modern knowledge. But we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in there's one Upanishad called the Garbhopanishad, which describes exactly how after the semen and ovum mix, how gradually the bodily parts develop. So they may be very, very proud, well, we've discovered so many things, but actually these things were known thousands and millions of years ago. Astrology is an important part of Indian life, but to make all the different calculations requires tremendous knowledge of mathematics and knowledge of the movements of the planets. So the ancient Vedic knowledge that has highly developed knowledge of the heavenly bodies, the movements of the heavenly bodies, and mathematics. In the Ayurveda, there is a description of various branches of medicine. including surgery. In the modern age, they've developed the atomic bombs. But in Vedic culture, there was the mantra-operated Brahmastra, which was better than the atomic bomb, because it just killed who you wanted to kill and not everyone wantonly. So the point here is that in Vedic culture there are various fields of knowledge which are comparable to or even superior to that which has been produced by modern science. However, the Vedic culture directs us to the highest platform of knowledge, which begins with the simple discrimination or delineation of the difference between the gross matter, the body, and the soul. Without understanding this, nothing is actually knowledge. It's not actually helpful or useful to us. I mean, the first thing we should understand is who we are. If we don't understand who we are, then how are we going to understand anything else? But almost everyone in the world doesn't even understand who they are. They identify with the body. But the body is temporary. And we are eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. In Tamil Nadu, especially this, the region which is nowadays called Tamil Nadu, it's been called that for, you know, for how long? Less than 50 years. About 50 years. Is it? About 50 years. The linguistic division was made. There was no Tamil Nadu. It wasn't called that before that. It was Madras Presidency under the British. Well, anyway, in this particular area, probably more than in other parts of India, there's been a tremendous tension along caste lines. People were very concerned to... This is your caste and that's it. You're identified by your caste. So that's one kind of temporary designation. The Brahmin in this life might be a fly or a caterpillar in the next life. And the Shudra in this life might be a Brahmin in his next life. But actually no one is a Brahmin, no one is a Shudra, no one is a caterpillar, no one is Indra, no one is a dog. We're all spirit soul. Now, as long as we're in this world, we have to observe certain conventions of this world. For instance, if we see a tiger and we think, we come across a tiger in the forest and we think, oh, it's a spirit soul, let me embrace it. And the tiger will also embrace you. But in a way that you immediately lose your present set of bodily designations. In other words, he'll kill you. There are probably not many tigers in Tamil Nadu. The Tamil tigers are all in Sri Lanka, aren't they? Well, that's a different kind of tiger. But anyway, it requires some... There's a certain kind of common sense of how to live and act in this world. But at the same time, we have to live in this world in such a way that we cultivate the knowledge that we don't get born again in this world. For that, we have to understand the teachings, transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his demoniac father Hiranyakashipu, what is the best thing that you have learned? Prahlad Maharaj replied, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Now, if we learn, in other words, he was teaching us that if we perform Vishnu Bhakti, that in itself constitutes the highest level of learning. So, of course, we're talking all these subjects in the hall of a temple of Parameshwari Durga. What's the name of the deity here? Kanyika Parameshwari. So, well, some people would say, well, Durga is supreme. Her name is Parameshwari, and her husband is Parameshwar. So that's true. Lord Shiva is Parameshwar, and she is Parameshwari. But then we also find in the Shastra, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. So what is the meaning of this? Is Shiva supreme or is Vishnu supreme? This has also been historically a big subject of contention in what is now called Tamil Nadu. So both of these statements are true. If we say Shiva is supreme, that's true. And if we say Vishnu is supreme, that's true. But we have to understand how they are both true. If the chief of police for Erode comes here, someone will say, he's the top policeman. That's true. He's the top policeman in Erode. It doesn't mean he's the chief of police for all Tamil Nadu. So Lord Shiva is the supreme controller, and Durga Parameshwari or Kanaka Parameshwari is the supreme controlleress, the female controller. That's true within a... They are the supreme within this material world. Within the jurisdiction of this material world, they are supreme. And they are seen as that and are to be seen as that by persons who are in materialistic consciousness. But a more developed understanding is to understand them in relationship to the all-encompassing supremacy of Bhagavan Vishnu. Kshirang yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayatena hitatav pritagasti heto yah shambhutama pitata samupaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Please. So, dadhi or yogurt is nothing but milk. But it is milk, it is transformed milk with another function. So similarly, Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu, but with a different function. Then again, Shrishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga Ichhana Rupam Api Yasya Chacheshta Te Sa Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Parameshwari is also known as Shakti. She is certainly very powerful. But her power is dependent on the source, which is ultimately Vishnu, Govinda. If we only see Shiva and Shakti, or Shiva and Durga as supreme, that is not a transcendental understanding. Durga is worshipped as supreme by persons who are very interested in material enjoyment. And Shiva is generally worshipped by persons who desire to be free from this material world and merge into the impersonal. But the best or ontologically correct, that means according to Tattva Vichar, the correct way to worship Shiva and Durga is to respect them as great devotees of Vishnu. So, as following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Vaishnavas, we also visit the temples of Shiva and Durga, and we offer them our sincere respect. We respect them as very powerful representatives and devotees of Lord Vishnu. So anyway, these transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, it's a very great subject. Even to study some material subject, just like it may take you a few years at the Vidya Vikas Institute. So we can't expect to discuss everything about the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj here tonight. We have in a booklet the condensed, very powerful teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. That booklet is being given to everyone, I think, is it? Hmm? Yeah, okay, that's available for sale. And we invite you to hear again and again these transcendental topics, hearing of which is the only purpose of life, and to purchase this transcendental literature, which can give us the knowledge which even many years of studying in the mundane educational institutions will not be given to us. We also invite everyone to take up this transcendental process of chanting the holy names of Krishna on beads. It is a very simple, very powerful, and very blissful process for getting free from the influence of Kali Yoga by chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You like this chanting? Just very simple chanting, but immediately our mind feels refreshed and purified. So we'd like to invite everyone, to those who don't have a japa mala, to take one. And you can chant every day the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. On each mala there are 108 beads, so you can chant at least one mala every day. Traditionally the sadhus would chant at least 64 times 108 times the Maha Mantra. But we are asking you in the beginning to chant at least one time around. Then you can gradually increase. The holy name of Krishna is very powerful. So if anyone would like to do that, then you can take... Who usually explains this? Krishna Das? Yeah. You can take the beads and chant on them every day. And we have the book, Bhakti Yoga, which describes the process of Bhakti Yoga, how to chant on beads, and all the other important points which can make you a pure devotee of Krishna.